Om Jnana Timirandhasya Jnananjana Shalakaya Chakshurin Militam Yena Tasmai Shri Gurave Namaha.
So I'll continue that today. So the series of songs we are singing from are based on Upadeshamrita of Srila Rupa Goswami Prabhupada. And this second verse, the second song, is based on the second verse of Upadeshamrita, which goes as follows. Atyahara prayasamcha prajalpa niyamavraha janasangas chadolyamcha shadhya bhakti vinashyati. Six items which destroy devotional advancement are as follows. Atyaha means eating too much or collecting too much. Prayasa, over-endeavor for mundane things which are very difficult to obtain. Prajalpa, talking unnecessarily about mundane things. Niyamagraha, this word can be divided in, can be studied in two ways. Niyam agraha means, niyam means rules and regulations. Graha means acceptance. And agraha means non-acceptance. So niyam agraha in this case means not following the rules and regulations. So another word is agraha, which means enthusiasm. So if one is overly enthusiastic to follow the rules and regulations without understanding the purpose behind them, that is also a misunderstanding of how to follow the rules and regulations. Then janasanga means associating with materialistic people. And lolyam, greed. So these six things destroy our devotional advancement. So here Bhaktivinoda Thakur sings, Hari Hei, O my dear Lord Hari. And the first word, Atyaha, this can mean excessive eating or excessive collection of funds. So here Bhaktivinoda Thakur takes the meaning, collecting money. Ather Sanchoy, collecting money. So this is very bad for devotional service. Not that we're against using money in Krishna's service. We would like to take all the money of the world to use in Krishna's service. Yeah. Sometimes people think our devotees are very materialistic because we're also looking for money. But actually we don't think that we're looking for money. Because we know that anyway, all the money in the world belongs to Krishna. And that if Krishna wants to give, he can give us anyway. That Prabhupada wrote in one letter to one devotee, Krishna can give you the whole world in 10 days, but you are not ready. So the devotee knows that anyway, everything is in the hands of Krishna. So when we go out to distribute books or whatever matters, we ask people to give a donation. That is for their benefit, because they are putting the money in their pocket and thinking it is my money. Actually, it is Krishna's money. So everyone in this world who is thinking it is my money, they are thieves. So devotees are simply helping to save them from the wrong concept of I, me and mine. And devotees don't collect money for themselves. The idea is that whatever money we get, we'll spend in the service of Krishna. If we have very little money, well, we'll take a little prasadam and sleep on the floor. And if we have a lot of money, we'll also take a little prasadam and sleep on the floor. And all the money we'll use for serving Krishna. So the idea is we shouldn't keep money, because that can be dangerous. Because we may become attached to them and make all kinds of plans. What shall I do? Prabhupada said, if we get $1 million in the morning, then at night time again we'll be a poor man, no money left. A million rubles or $1 million. A million rubles isn't much. $1 million also isn't much. What is that to Krishna? So if we get, we'll immediately send it to the BBT, print books. If you ever get money, print books. Build temples, distribute prasad. The word to go and sort, wash your hands. I personally saw Prabhupada send someone out of the temple room for putting their hand in their mouth. I'll tell you the story, then you go wash your hands. Listen to the story first. Actually, you should go immediately, but I'll tell you the story. I was getting my second initiation along with about 150 other devotees getting initiation in Krishna Balaram temple in Vrindavan. There was about 150 devotees taking initiation. So one devotee was doing the yajna, swaha, swaha. Prabhupada was watching from the Vyasa Sam. All the swaha, swaha was going on. Prabhupada suddenly said, stop. He said, so many devotees. Prabhupada pointed right to the back. And there was one Mataji with her baby who was about 6 months or 1 year old. Prabhupada said, this child is contaminating the whole yajna. He has his hand in his mouth. Take him out, wash his hand, and teach him not to put his hand in his mouth. Continue. So anyway, this kind of thing you're supposed to learn when you're a baby. Learn now. Don't wash your hands. Money, that should be spent for Krishna. There are so many things we can do in Krishna's service. You see, businessmen, they are ambitious. Especially now in Russia, if someone has a little business propensity, he can make a lot of money. Because the situation is good for new businesses. Whereas, if you want to make a successful business, in places like Germany or America, it's not so easy. So if one has a little intelligence and a good plan, especially in Russia now, he can make good money. If his karma thus favors him, we have to remember that factor also. So you'll find a businessman, he's always thinking, how to make money, how to make money, how to make money. Ambitious. So, you're a businessman? Any businessman here? He looks enthusiastic here. Maybe he's thinking, maybe I could also make money. So, same way, devotee should be enthusiastic, ambitious. What can we do for Krishna? And if we think such, we may be surprised at the wonderful things we can do. Just like if we talk about the history of book distribution. Actually, in the very early days of ISKCON, there was no book distribution. Simply, devotees would go out and chant, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, 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 Hare Hare, Hare Ram, Hare Ram, 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 Hare Hare. That was the program. Everyone would go out in the morning, come back at midday, take a little prasad, and then go out again in the afternoon, simply chanting Hare Krishna. So anyway, then they got back to Godhead magazines, and these were distributed along with the Harinam parties. Then Prabhupada had, I think it was 10,000 copies of Krishna book printed. First edition, very big book. Right? No, it was in two volumes, the first edition. So Prabhupada said, sell them, $8 each. So $8 was quite a lot of money in those days. They used to sell the back to Godheads for donations. People would give 10 cents, 25 cents, maybe 50 cents. But no one had any idea how to sell a Krishna book for $8. So all the devotees looked and said, oh, really nice Krishna book. Krishna and they book. Took great pleasure in reading them and looking at the nice pictures. And they said, isn't Prabhupada wonderful to write these wonderful books about wonderful Krishna? And the book sat in the storehouse. And Prabhupada said, distribute them. The devotees had no idea how to distribute them. So one time Prabhupada came to San Francisco and said, if we don't distribute these books, our movement is finished. I'm going back to India. You can do what you like. So devotees started to think, oh, no one's going to give $8 for a book. So anyway, they started taking them out with them on the Harinam party and showing them to people. No books were sold. Then one day they were driving back and they had the Krishna book in the back of one of the cars. And the garage attendant, he saw that book. The guy who used the petrol, the benzene. And he expressed a little interest. So one of the devotees showed it to him. And then he said, look, you keep the book and we don't pay for the petrol. He said, okay. And the first book was sold!
Jai!
They came back to the temple. We sold the Krishna book!
Jai! Jai!
And the news went all over the movement, which meant about 10 temples in America.
That Keshav Das, the president of ISKCON San Francisco, has sold a Krishna book.
So when he would walk into the temple, everyone would look at him. Very highly prestigious. So they thought, well, why don't we try... Maybe they got a little bit of transcendental inspiration. Why don't we just try and sell some directly? Maybe we could try going door to door. So, of course, in those days, no one had ever dreamed of wearing kami clothes. So they started going door to door. And the news started going around the movement. Devotees are going out selling 2 to 3 books a day. Devotees are in transcendental ecstasy. Devotees are phoning up from, hey, what's going on? Do you think we can do it too? One of the devotees who was there told me the whole story, Yogesh Chandra. If anyone knows anything about the early days of ISKCON book distribution, they must know the name of Yogesh Chandra. Yogi Bear, they call him. You call him Yogi Bear. You don't know, Yogi Bear, you don't know what that means. It's American.
It's American.
So, Yogesh Chandra was telling us some of the stories that one day he went to a house, rang the doorbell, and there he is standing, big guy, about 6'4" tall, big strong guy, like looking like an army marine, which he used to be. You know the marines?
Yeah.
Standing there with his orange clothes and a big smile. So a woman opened the door. She started screaming, Henry, Henry! That's her husband's name. Come quickly! There's this crazy guy at the door! So Henry came running.
Hey, what do you want? What do you want, man?
He says, well, I'm just selling these books.
How much are they?
$8. Oh, he only wants to sell us a book. Give him $8. It's okay, no problem. Okay, bring the money. Take two. So then they got the idea. Well, we have our temple van.
it's full of holes and the engine's held together with string, but anyway, it's some kind of a van. So why don't we go traveling to the different towns where no one has seen us? And we can go town to town and distribute books. And because in the temple, you know, it's a little bit entangling, maybe we could go out and distribute. So they went out, traveling Sankirtan, in small towns of California, and they would phone back at night. We broke the 10-book limit. It's like, you know, they have the, what is that, the 4-minute mile. They're trying to get down, run within 4. We get it. We got past 10 books. Keshav Das is going out every day, 8 to 10 books. Yogis Chandra, 7, 8 books every day. And shockwaves went around the whole movement.
It's a shock.
10 books a day. Empowered. This is just something inconceivable. So then other devotees got excited also. And book distribution was on its way. Then, it must have been about 1970, of course there was so much history, but about 1970, about 1975 I think it was, the first devotee did 100 books in one day. Staying out, distributing 24 hours non-stop. That's during the Christmas period in the airports. Distributing in the airports in America is not easy. Even now, very tough people.
Puffed up,
no time, badly intelligent. He's intelligent, but in the wrong way. But at the same time, it's very good to distribute books to them because in the airports there's usually students, businessmen, government officials, kind of people we want to get our books. So 100 books a day, Prabhupada was very pleased. Yeah. Now, some devotees are doing several hundred or even 1,000 or more books sometimes. Yeah. So nothing's impossible. Point is, we should be ambitious for Krishna, not ambitious for sense gratification. Okay. Prabhupada was ambitious. He didn't think, well, I'll just stay in Vrindavan. He thought, let me try to preach all over the world. Yeah. At that time, no one thought it was possible to preach Krishna consciousness all over the world. Yeah. Everyone except Prabhupada thought it was impossible. Mostly they didn't even think it was impossible. They didn't even think about it at all. They were just, somehow or other, if they could do a little bhajan and few lectures here and there, they were quite satisfied. But Prabhupada thought, let me try. And he was successful. It wasn't easy. We shouldn't think that Prabhupada just went to America and all of a sudden everyone came and bowed down at his feet. Not at all. Prabhupada had to go through so many difficulties. He was living with meat eaters. He was put in some place to stay. That is amongst all the bums, all the alcoholic bumpers, Prabhupada used to call. He was staying with some boy who was crazy on LSD and wanted to kill Prabhupada. You can see in Prabhupada's letters, he wrote one letter to Sally Agarwal, who was the first person he was staying with in America. When he came to New York, he said, sometimes I don't have anything to eat at night and therefore I'm feeling starving at night. It's very, very sad when we think of this. Prabhupada was prepared to starve to save us. And he had to train his disciples in everything. Maybe you know the first initiation that was conducted. Prabhupada cooked all the preparations, served it personally to all the devotees. They were initiated. They said, thank you very much, Swamiji, and went, leaving Prabhupada to clean up everything. So he was so patient. He taught them everything. Amazing how in taking people who had absolutely no idea whatsoever, and in 11 years, giving them so much training, that just leaving, all right, now you go and teach others. So Prabhupada was ambitious for Krishna. So we should also be. Not crazy plan, or even if the plan seems crazy, we should execute it in a very cool-headed way. Just like a businessman makes plans how to increase his business. So we should make plans how to increase this Krishna consciousness movement. Quantitatively and qualitatively. That means, quantitatively means distribute more books, distribute more prasad, invite more and more people to our program, make more and more people devotees. It's not necessary that everybody lives in the temple. Married people living outside, we should engage them also. And qualitatively means we shouldn't, along with increasing our activities, we should increase the quality. Ourselves, personally, we should increase the quality of our chanting. We should study Prabhupada's books. And for the other devotees also, we should see how they're becoming more and more advanced. Most important is this, chanting. From the chanting, all success comes. Hare Nama, Hare Nama, Hare Nama, Eva Kevalam, Kalo Nas, Jeva Nas, Jeva Nas, Jeva Gatiya Nita, In this age of Kali, there is no other way, no other way, no other way but to chant the holy names, chant the holy names, chant the holy names of Lord Sri Hari. So giving up the desire for collecting more and more money for materialistic purposes, we should be ambitious for spreading Krishna consciousness. Then Vishwai Prayashe, to endeavor for sense gratification. Or even over-endeavor in general, we should be particular, and let's take it one point by one point. We should give up all endeavors for sense gratification. Vishaya kalu sarvatasya. Bhagavatam says that sense gratification, that is automatically achieved in any species of life. No, that's for Bhagavatam shloka. So this endeavor for sense gratification, that is the activity of the non-devotees, the karmis. So that is most detrimental for devotional service. Instead of trying for sense gratification, we should try to do something to please Krishna. Now in one lecture, Prabhupada, this over-endeavor, Prabhupada gave one definition of this. That he gave an example, just like if we have a plan to build a temple and it will cost $2 million. But we have no means that we can see to get $2 million. Then to take up such a project would be an example of over-endeavor. Because it will simply involve all the devotees in very difficult collection process, collecting, 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 collecting. And the work will be extremely slow. And that will block up our real activities. That will block up, that will stop our natural progression. So, ano kata prajalpane. That means talking all nonsense, nothing to do with Krishna consciousness. We should be very careful of this. Because we all have the tendency to talk on and on, waffle on. Now, one thing is, sometimes we may discuss material things, but we discuss it in relationship with Krishna's service. Not sometimes, we do this all the time. Just like we may discuss the train timetable. Then we may discuss, well, this train leaves at this time, and this is a fast train, but this is a slower train, but it's more comfortable, and there may be so many different things. Or we may discuss computers. That, well, I'm thinking of getting a new computer, and do you think I should get a Mac or an IBM? And how much capacity do you think I need, hard disk? And we may have a detailed discussion about the qualities of different computers. But if the purpose is clearly that we're going to take this computer and use it for some significant service for Krishna, that is not prajalpa. But if we get off the subject and then we go into discussing so many other things which are not relevant to our service to Krishna, then that becomes prajalpa. This we have to be careful. Even Prabhupada, you see, sometimes, actually not sometimes, quite often he would discuss different matters of history. Prabhupada was quite fond of speaking of Indian history. But he did it to demonstrate some philosophical point. Particularly he did it to show how the original pure Indian culture was polluted. Because one of his, one of Prabhupada's aims was to establish Indian culture all over the world. When I say Indian culture, I don't mean the Mayavadi Hindu hodgepodge mixed up with some imitation of the West, which is going on at the present time. But the original Indian or Vedic culture means Krishna consciousness. There are so many features of that culture. Respect, protection of the cows, respect for the elders. There will be a Brahmin class who are very elevated, saintly and knowledgeable. There will be a class of Kshatriyas who are also very noble and followers of the Brahminical culture. Family life, how that is conducted within the Vedic culture. So many points, Prabhupada wanted to establish this. So he sometimes used to discuss Indian culture, how it got polluted, what were the causes of its pollution. So that is not prajalpa, when the aim is to, there is some connection with Krishna. Just like we find in the Bhagavatam, the sages headed by Shaunaka Rishi, they had heard from Suta Goswami something about Parikshit Maharaj and his activities. So they asked, you please explain something more about Parikshit Maharaj's activities on this condition, one condition. Yadi Krishna Katha Shrayam. If it's in relationship with topics of Krishna. In other words, Parikshit Maharaj as a king, he may have had so many kingly and social duties. Just like we read in the Mahabharata, how the Pandavas, they were devotees of Krishna, but because they were kings, Kshatriyas, they had so many political and social duties.
So the Shonakadi rishis, they were asking, will you please discuss about Parikshit Maharaj, yadi Krishna katha ashraya. If his, inasmuch as his activities are connected with topics of Krishna, please describe that.
So we should be very careful that even if we have to discuss some apparently material topics, that we don't go outside the area of speaking in relationship with Krishna. Even apparently material topics, if they're discussed in relationship with Krishna's service, that is not material. But we have to be very careful to keep inside the area of Krishna's service. Just like sometimes devotees, they become very interested in politics. So much discussion of politics. Now, of course, the political goings-on, they will affect our activity. They may affect our activities to some extent. But at the same time, we don't want to spend all our day spending 1 hour reading the newspaper and then another 2 hours discussing it. It's a waste of time. All this mundane news, we should be aware of it as much as we need to and no more. And we should cultivate the habit of speaking about Krishna. As Chaitanya Mahaprabhu used to say, that you see, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's devotees are very affectionate to him. So Chaitanya Mahaprabhu said to them, if you really want to be affectionate to me, then you just do one thing. He said, Jodi amar proti sneho thake shabakar, tobi Krishna beti rikta na gaibaya. He says, if you really want to be affectionate to me, then do one thing. Don't speak about anything else but Krishna. Kishayane, ki bhojane, ki ba jagarane, ahar nisha chin. He said, even when lying down, even while eating, sleeping, any condition, day and night, think of Krishna and chant his holy name. Khayate shuate jata tata naam loi, desh kaal niyam nahi sharva shuddhi loi. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu said, this chanting of Hare Krishna, any condition, even while you're eating, even while you're sleeping, if we practice, then we can, even sleeping, we can chant Hare Krishna. Just like maybe you've had the experience, if you do something again and again and again during the day, at night, you dream the same thing. Have you had that experience? You know that experience? I know the day I got my first initiation, I was the treasurer at Bhaktivedanta Manor. So that day so many people are coming and so many donations coming in. And we didn't have any counting machine. So all day I was counting money. And I got called out for 1 hour in the middle to get initiated, then I went back to count money. So right after 12 o'clock at night, then I went to the kirtan and that was... Right up till 12 o'clock at night. So after the aarti and a little prasad, you have 1 hour sleep before Mangal aarti on Vyasa. So I remember that 1 hour, I was sleeping, I was also counting money. And I remember thinking that I know I'm asleep, but I can't get any escape from this. So like that, if we practice always thinking of Krishna, chanting Hare Krishna, then even at night. That happened to me a few days ago, actually, in Chibuksara. And we had three programs, so I was lecturing for about 6 hours in the day, something like that. So when I fell asleep, I was also... So this is good practice. Kayate shuate, jata tata namloi. Any situation, if we chant the holy names, desh kala niyam nahi sarva siddhi hoy. Without any consideration of time, place, or circumstance, we can achieve all perfection. So Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was saying, if you're really, really affectionate to me, if you really love me, please always think of Krishna. Think of Krishna in Chinese holy names. Just like I see, I'm traveling in Russia now, and I see the devotees are very affectionate to me. Actually, that is a sign of affection to Prabhupada, because who am I anyway? But anyway, somehow or other, I have some connection to Prabhupada. Okay. So because of that, you're expressing some love for me. Because due to Prabhupada and his disciples, you've become saved from material life. And sometimes the Matajis, they like to express their affection by making a thousand different preparations. Motherly affection. They're thinking, maybe he's very thin, he didn't eat anything. But I can assure you that I do eat quite a lot. You can ask Auntie Moni. So it's very nice to make so many different preparations, even though I don't eat them all. But following in Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's footsteps, I would like to request you that if you're really affectionate, think of Krishna and talk about Krishna. And if you like to cook so many things, you can. There's no guarantee I'm going to eat them. But anyway, the other devotees, they will enjoy. All right, next thing. Now, you see this Niyamagraha. There are two things, not following the rules and regulations, and overly enthusiastic to follow the rules without knowing the real meaning behind them.
Now, not following the rules and regulations of devotional service, here Bhaktivinoda Thakur has translated as ano adhika, means following rules and regulations suitable for somebody else. This we find in the Gita. Twice Krishna says to Arjuna that you have to follow your own duty as it's given to you. Svadhama nidhanam shriya paradhama vyavaha. Which we should all shriyan svadhama vidhuna paradhama vyavaha. One should always stick to his own duties because it's not proper to do someone else's duties. So, not following the rules and regulations very strictly. Not following the rules and regulations very strictly. This is a cause of fall down in devotional life. The rules and regulations are supposed to help us make advancement in Krishna consciousness. To help us to come to our natural position of spontaneous love of Krishna. Because now we are contaminated, we have to follow rules and regulations. There are many such rules and regulations. Among them, some are very important, especially the rules to follow these four regulated principles: no meat eating, no gambling, no illicit sex, no intoxication, and to chant a minimum of 16 rounds of the Hare Krishna Maha Mantra every day. And there are many other important rules also, such as rising early, taking baths, attending the temple programs, then taking only Krishna Prasadam. So many rules are there. Nectar of devotion is given so many rules. And there are other things also which Prabhupada stressed, such as for the men to regularly shave their heads. I've just been reading Prabhupada's lectures. There's one lecture Prabhupada's talking about this. Prabhupada says, we are famous as shaven-headed. So my request is, don't become hairy-headed again. So there are so many rules and regulations. Rules are meant for following. They are meant for our uplift. So we should know what Prabhupada taught. Prabhupada taught according to Shastra. In Shastra there are millions of rules, all of which are not possible for us to follow in old age. So Prabhupada gave us those things which are important for us, and we should be very careful to follow them. So many different things. It's like sometimes I see devotees in Russia, they wear the Brahmin thread from the deities around their wrist. I'm just giving this as an example. Prabhupada said not to do it. Speculation, Prabhupada said. So we should know all these things. At least should try to find out all these things. I'm writing a book about all these little details. Just so that we can know what to do and what not to do, so that we can become quickly advanced in devotional service. Then another thing, niyama agrahe, means to be overly enthusiastic to follow the rules without knowing the point behind them all. I'll just give you one example of this. Now, in the Hari Bhakti Vilas, there are different rules for following Chaturmasya. Many of them, or practically all of them, Prabhupada didn't stress as being important for us. There are so many rules. There are certain vegetables you should not cook during the Chaturmasya period. Prabhupada didn't think it was very important for us to follow. Once Prabhupada came to Vrindavan during the Chaturmasya period, he saw several of his disciples with long hair and beards, because one of the rules of Chaturmasya is that you don't shave. So Prabhupada said, he wasn't enthusiastic. He said, what is all this? Ours is a preaching movement. If you really want to follow Chaturmasya, you follow all the rules. So many rules. Prabhupada said, I don't want you to follow these rules, I want you to preach. So many devotees shaved right on that day, even though it was a Kaddish. You're not supposed to shave on a Kaddish. But they thought, better we shave because Prabhupada doesn't like to see us with this hair. So I'm giving you an example. A few years ago I was in Hyderabad temple during the Chaturmasya season. So there was one Bengali devotee there. And many Bengali devotees, they like to read Hari Bhakti Vilas. So this devotee, he never came to Mangalarti. There was no question of seeing him during Mangalarti. Unless you went to the Brahmachari Ashram, where you could find him quite peacefully sleeping. So anyway, he used to give his darshan around 9 o'clock in the morning to prasadam time. He used to come into our presence, benedicting us with his divine glances. So one morning he turns up, he comes at the stroke of 9 o'clock, just very punctually at 9 o'clock in time for prasadam, and sees they're serving sabji with eggplants, which is banned during Chaturmasya.
Oh, what is this?
You're not supposed to eat eggplant in Chaturmasya. This is banned. This is against Hari Bhakti Vilas. That's a rascal nonsense. Rise early in the morning, go to Mangalarti, he cannot do. And, eggplant sabji. This is very bad. Another Bengali Chaturmasya story I'll tell you. Another Bengali devotee I saw during Chaturmasya with beard and hair.
So I told him, Prabhu, Prabhupada, he didn't like this. He said, anyway, this is our family tradition, I'm following. Now, Chaturmasya means you should eat very little food, no spices, no salt, no sugar, no ghee, no oil, practically no anything. So I came in at prasadam time and see him sitting in a big front of a big plate of rice, dal, sabji, so many different prepared. So I said, I thought you were following Chaturmasya. He said, oh, I'm only following the rule of not shaving. Why only this rule? Just he'll show to others, I'm following Chaturmasya. And others will think, oh, he's very austere. Because following Chaturmasya means very austere. The only thing he was following was to keep a beard to make a big show that I'm a great sadhu. So these are some examples of being attached to rules in a perverted way, in a wrong way, twisted way, concocted way. Prabhupada, he could adjust anything. He could make so many adjustments, just like this Brahmin thread, sacred thread. So this is for chanting Gayatri Mantra. It's considered very sacred. So of course one rule is that you shouldn't take that off. It should never be taken off. Unless you change it for another one. And there's a process to do that. Then you have to dispose of your old sacred thread very carefully. So one time Prabhupada was at a public program in Glasgow in Scotland. In a hall and there were so many people present. So Prabhupada came to speak and he saw the mic. The stand was broken, the mic wasn't fitting properly. So they're trying to put it on and it wouldn't fit. Prabhupada turned to one devotee, give me your Brahmin thread. Prabhupada tied it up with the Brahmin thread. Preaching is the essence, utility is the principle. No, Prabhupada did it. I'm not saying you do it. Now you'll use your Brahmin thread for cleaning your teeth. Prabhupada gave the Brahmin thread so he can take it away and he can give you another one. It doesn't mean you do. You should be more careful. Prabhupada is a liberated acharya. He can do whatever he likes. So, Niyam Mahabhraha, Ashat Sangha Sanghatane. Another point that destroys devotion is associating with materialistic people. Now, that doesn't mean that we don't meet with non-devotees at all. If we wanted to do that, then we should go off to the jungle. There are plenty of forests in Russia. So, if we really want to follow the principle of not seeing or touching or having anything to do with materialistic people, we can go out to the forest. But we have to preach. Preaching means living in the cities, to meet so many people and inform them about Krishna. So, if we say we won't meet with non-devotees at all, then there'll be no preaching. But, Sangatyaga, Asat Sangatyaga means we don't intimately associate with non-devotees. That doesn't mean also that we're rude to them. Doesn't mean that we misbehave with them, but we don't make very intimate friendship with them. That intimate friendship, that will be explained two verses on, that with how we make very intimate friendship, that is described. Giving a gift, accepting a gift, feeding a devotee, accepting prasad from a devotee, and particularly revealing our mind in confidence with devotees, discussing them very confidentially. So this very confidential, intimate friendship, that should be reserved for devotees only, devotees with devotees. We don't associate with non-devotees any more than necessary. That if we have any work with them or preaching to them, whatever. And then Janasangas Chaloliam Cha. Now Loliam means greed. Here again Bhaktivinoda Thakur has translated it in a slightly different way. He has given the idea of greed to understand different enthusiasm to understand all kinds of different philosophies unnecessarily, and thus remain on the mental speculative platform. Ashtir Shidhante Rahinu Mojiya. Hari Bhakti Vailo Dure. Ashtir Siddhanta. That means, Siddhanta means philosophical conclusion. Now, the real philosophical conclusion is that Krishna is the Supreme Personality of Godhead, and we are all His eternal servants. That is the real conclusion. That is Tira Siddhanta, fixed up conclusion.
Fixed up,
proper conclusion. But austere Siddhanta means that always your opinion is subject to change. That is the mental platform. Today you think one thing, tomorrow something else. So this is the nature. As long as we don't come to the proper conclusion, then our opinion will always be changing. This is the eclectic platform. Take a little bit of philosophy from here, take a little idea from there, cook it all up in your brain, make a soup. This is not the proper way to understand. This is another kind of maya, which devotees who are somewhat intellectually inclined, they are prone to fall into.
devotees who are intellectually inclined, they are in danger of falling into this trap of sense gratificatory intellectualism. The sense gratification of being an intellectual.
That's very interesting.
And just expert honey bottle licking. You know this example? That one pot of honey. Now, we may describe to someone else. Yeah. Just imagine someone has never tasted honey. So you can describe, it is very sweet, it is produced by bees, it can be processed in so many different ways. You could probably write a whole book this thick about honey, if you wanted to talk about the honey-producing businesses all over the world. However, even if someone read a whole big, thick book about honey, he still would not know what it tasted like. The only way to find out how it tastes is to open it up and... find there are mundane scholars who are interested in Krishna consciousness. Some people study 19th century Russian history. Some people study the mating habits of Brazilian frogs. Some people study the different technologies for dyeing cloth, putting color in the cloth. Some people study theoretical implications of astrophysics. And some people study Krishna consciousness. And it's another subject of study. And they'll write so many things, different theses, and become famous as a well-known scholar. Famous, that means famous among the other scholars. Because no one cares for scholars except other scholars. So among their own group, they become well-known. Oh, have you seen Professor So-and-so's new book? He has a new theory about the development of Vaishnavism in medieval Bengal. Oh yes, I've heard about that. It's quite an interesting point of view. But I'm not sure if it's really true, because you find Jiva Goswami said this. Yes, that's true. That's very interesting. That's a very interesting observation. But then the inscriptions on the inscriptions on temples in Bengal. So it would seem to support so-and-so's theory. And in this way, they go on discussing Krishna consciousness from the historical, sociological, anthropological points of view. Expert honey bottle lickers. They may have so much knowledge, but they have no experience, not even slightly. And therefore, they come to all wrong conclusions. It is a necessary part of their scholastic discipline that they must consider Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and his followers to be ordinary people. Sometimes they say Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's ecstasy, as described by Krishna's Kaviraj Goswami, maybe it was an epileptic fit. So in this way, they become very big rascals, very great nonsense, very serious offenders. So our devotees should be very careful to avoid these mundane scholars. Even if we preach to them, we should be extremely careful not to come to their platform of compromise. That we are not going to come to your platform of maybe, I think, but, and all this. Maybe, I think, perhaps. No, our platform is Sri Bhagavan Uvacha. Krishna says we accept it. What does Krishna say? Namang dushkutino mudha prapadyante naradhama maya apahrita jnana asurang bhavamashrita. Krishna says anyone who doesn't surrender to me is a rascal. That's all. Four basic classes of rascal. Completely foolish, ass-like person. The lowest among mankind, someone who thinks he's very intelligent, but actually his real knowledge is stolen by illusion. And an out-and-out demon. So someone who is a big professor and thinks he knows a lot about Krishna consciousness, but doesn't surrender to Krishna, and gives all rascal theories, such as the Ramayana Walt Disney would be envious of, then he is a rascal, that's all. So he may not say directly on his face. We may do also, but generally we don't. But we cannot agree with his wrong theory. If we're going to meet such a person, we should let them know we cannot agree with your wrong idea. It's not that, well, it's okay, it doesn't matter. You can agree that, after all, Ramayana's just a fairy story. What does it matter anyway? Then we also become Mayavadis, we also become rascals. If we agree with this nonsense, then we also become nonsense. So this austere siddhanta, to come away from the fixed platform of Krishna consciousness is extremely dangerous. If we take Krishna consciousness as simply another kind of intellectual sense gratification, I think this, I think that, then we become nonsense. Krishna consciousness finished. Maya apahrita jnana means his real knowledge is covered by illusion. This is exact description. This is exact, correct description. It's like you see, even someone may be initiated by Prabhupada and trained in the right philosophy. But when he becomes influenced by this mundane scholarship, he talks all nonsense. Yeah. The good knowledge which he got from Prabhupada again becomes covered by Maya. So that he can write in his book that Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was howling. Howling means the noise a dog makes. He can write in his book that Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was howling. Howling is the noise that a dog makes.
Dog noise?
Dog noise, yeah. Not the barking, but you know the one that went, "Aah!" So someone has written Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was howling. So we say, Agyanati mirandhasya gyananjana shalakaya chakshuran militam yena tasmai Sri Gurubin. We offer our respectful obeisances to our Guru who has opened our eyes which was covered with darkness. We have come out of the ignorance to knowledge by the grace of Guru. But now someone wants to write, the same person wants to write, the late A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Prabhupada. It means the dead A.C. Bhaktivedanta. So he considers Prabhupada is dead. Prabhupada is not dead. He is dead. He is spiritually dead. Because his eyes were opened and again he's put mud in his face. He cannot see anymore. So we should be very careful in our reading. We should read books, Prabhupada's books. Or if you're going to read anything else, read that which is very clearly faithful to Prabhupada. Don't become a pseudo-intellectual and go to hell.
Pseudo means
false. We may say so many things, we may collect so much knowledge in our brain, but the result will be Hari Bhakti Roelo Dure. Real Krishna consciousness will remain a long distance away from us. E hridaye matro parahinja moda pratishta shatata guru. Bhaktivinoda Thakur, taking the position of a conditioned soul, says that in my heart there is only envy of others, pride, sense of false prestige, and hypocrisy, deceitful dealings.
Deceitful?
Deceitful dealings, non-straightforward. All those things are coming up in my heart. Eshava agraha charite narinu apana doshete mori. He says that all these attachments, I've not given them up. And therefore, I am dying because of my own faults. Janama vipal hailo amar ikon ki kari hari. Says, my dear Lord Sri Hari, I took birth uselessly. Now, what can I do? What should I do? Amito patita, I am fallen. Patita pavana tumara pavitra nam. But your holy name is patita pavana, the purifier of the fallen. Shesha mandha dhari tumara charane sharana loinu ham. He says that I've made this relationship with your lotus feet. Accepting myself as fallen and you as the purifier of the fallen, I've taken shelter at your lotus feet. In this way, Bhaktivinoda Thakur is teaching us to give up everything which is unfavorable for the prosecution of our devotional service. Alright, now you please do kirtan for a few minutes. I have to go to the bathroom. I'll be back in a few minutes. Then we can have questions. If you have any questions, please think.